It's Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's past. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. In this hour, we enjoy radio westerns. Later on, John Daner portrays Paladin, and Have Gun Will Travel. But right now, it's Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince in Fort Laramie, an episode from February 5th, 1956, based on actual events, the play called Squaw Matt from CBS.
Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Looks like they're about ready to pull out, Captain.
Yeah. Walk back with me, Sergeant.
I never did see such a mangy collection of stock.
It's not a cavalry outfit, Gorse.
It sure ain't.
Most of these wagon trains heading west get through one way or another, but I sure don't know how.
I talked with Mr. Brown a couple of times. He seems like a good man.
He is. But I wonder how much luck a Missouri farmer is going to have taking a couple of hundred women and children through Indian country.
He'll make out, Captain.
I hope so.
Hello, Sergeant Gorse.
I beg your pardon, miss.
I was afraid we'd leave without seeing you again.
Oh, well, I...
And I wanted to thank you for last night.
Yeah, well, sure, miss.
Goodbye, Sergeant. And thank you.
Still, water runs deep, Gorse.
How's that, Captain?
Never mind.
All I did was give her a little old knife. I bought it at the sutler's.
Never mind.
That's all it was, Captain. I just give her a little old present.
Sure, Sergeant.
Keep them wagons in line, two abreast, till we hit the river.
You're late getting started, Mr. Brown.
Oh, hello, Captain Quince. Only about an hour.
You're wasting daylight.
Yeah, we're pulling out now, Captain. Any of your men going to ride along with us?
No, but you won't have any trouble.
Like they say, Captain, Oregon or bust. You guarantee no trouble, Captain?
Out here, we don't guarantee anything, Mr. Brown. But you should at least get through to Salt Lake without trouble.
Yeah, I hope you're right. It's mighty lonely out there once you're out of sight of the fort.
Yeah, I know.
Well, thank the Major for his hospitality, will you?
No thanks necessary. Well, good luck.
Thanks. See you in Oregon sometime, Captain.
All right. Break out. Break out.
Gorse, what are you staring at?
Oh, nothing, Captain. Just a train heading out.
You've seen a few hundred of them before, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
What's her name?
Who?
The girl.
Emily. Emily McCutcheon. Going to Oregon with her pa. She was put up real good.
You're all cavalry, Gorse.
Yes, sir. Long way to Oregon. I hope they make it.
So do I. Yeah, come on. I missed coffee this morning. Let's find some.
There's a rider coming in.
Yeah.
Looks like a white man, dressed in buckskin. Hunter, maybe.
It's Will Granby.
He's a squaw man, eh?
Yeah, lives with the Arapaho.
Captain.
How are you, old horse?
Tolerable.
Well, it's good to see you. You haven't been in 2 or 3 years.
Nope.
You come for supplies?
Come to parley. Got a proposition.
All right, come on in, Will.
Oblige.
Sergeant Gorse, will you have Mr. Granby's horse stabled?
Yes, sir. Come on, come on.
Sit down, Will.
Oblige.
All right, now what is it? What's your proposition?
I figured maybe they'll hire out to you.
You want a job?
Cavalry always needs scouts.
Maybe. You saying you want the job?
Why not? I know this country better than the hairs of my head. Better than any man except old Gabe Bridger. There's some few places I've been even Gabe ain't.
You're a mountain man, Will. You lived wild and free all your life. Why do you want to tie yourself down now?
Yeah. Ain't like the old times no more, Captain. Ain't pleasurable now. It's hard. Maybe it's the doing you cavalry fellers. Or maybe it's our own fault. Maybe we trapped too much. Took too much buffalo. I don't know. But I got me a young squaw. Prettiest you ever seen. I figured if I was to work, her and me'd eat regular at least.
Right now we have peace. We don't need any more scouts.
I figure you do, Captain.
Tell me, Will.
Am I hired?
I haven't got the authority to hire you. That'll have to come from the major.
No, I'd rather deal with you. I know you.
I can't hire you, but if you've got information, I'll make you a promise. At least I'll feed you and send you back with meat.
Yeah, meat I could carry wouldn't last long.
Then we'll go see the major.
Now, wait. I'd rather tell you, but you got to promise me one thing.
What's that?
That it'll be settled peaceful. They're my people.
Will, I'll do all I can.
All right. There's going to be trouble. Tribes are getting restless, all of them. The Arapaho even. The government promised them if they'd go to the agencies, they'd get food, meat. And that promise ain't been kept.
Yeah, I know. The supply train comes through now and then, but it's not enough. I know that.
The Arapaho are starving, Captain. Eating bark and roots. Game on agencies played out. If they can't get food from the government or from the land, then they got to go looking for it wherever they can. They got to eat.
Will, have they left the agency?
They're camped at Silver Spring.
That's on the Oregon Trail.
They got to eat, Captain. They went looking for buffalo, but there ain't no buffalo. So they'll get food where they can from the wagon trains.
Well, we got to talk to the major.
Did you promise?
I said I'd do all I could, and I will. There's not much time for talking. There's a wagon train headed for Silver Springs right now.
Yeah, I know. I saw it.
All right, come on. We'll see the major.
How do we know this man's telling the truth?
I've known him for a long time, Major. He doesn't lie.
Could be a trap.
If it is a trap, then there's trouble for sure.
I don't trust a man lives with Indians, marries them.
No, no, look here. You
Major, there's a wagon train on the trail to Silver Springs right now. They got to be warned. I can still ride out with a detachment to turn them back.
Captain Quince, our orders are to keep the trail open to Oregon and to keep the Indians on the agencies. If anything, we'll send a company to escort the train through and run those Arapaho back where they belong.
Couldn't do that without fighting, Major.
That's one of the functions of the cavalry.
In this case, there's no cause for it.
The Arapaho have broken their treaty, Captain.
The way they see it, we're the ones who broke the treaty by not keeping our promise about food.
All I know is they're off the agency and they'll have to go back.
If we go out in force, there's bound to be trouble. If I take a small detachment, maybe I can talk to him.
This is a hostile action, Captain. It's got to be met as such.
Major, the Arapaho are starving. They got to eat.
Mr. Granby, I'm sorry that they're starving, but I can't do anything about it. At least not until the supplies come through to me. My orders are to keep the Arapaho on the agency, and I can do something about that.
Those are people out there, Major, and they're hungry. They only want food.
Captain Quince, you'll take Company B and escort the wagon train until you meet the Arapaho. You'll send the wagon train on and escort the Indians to the agency. And use whatever measures are necessary. That's all, Captain.
Yes, sir. One thing, sir.
What is it?
Have I your permission to hire Will Granby as a scout?
I don't see why it's necessary, but if you want him, take him.
Thank you, sir.
What kind of a man is that?
Oh, he's all right, Will. He's an officer. He's got his orders. He goes by the book. He understands the situation all right, but he can't admit it. Listen, can you be ready to move out in an hour?
I can't ride with you, Captain. They're my people.
Will, I said I'd do what I could. I need your help. Ride with me.
You know what you're asking? You know what it might mean for me if there's trouble?
There won't be trouble if I can prevent it.
I'm afraid you can't, Captain. But I'll go with you.
Should see him just over this hill, Captain.
Yeah, if the Arapaho didn't see him first.
You figure they'd attack?
I don't know, Sergeant. But I'll feel easier when we spot that wagon train.
I was right, Captain. There they are.
All right, Sergeant. Let's ride out.
Company! At the gallop!
At the gallop!
Ho!
Sergeant, blind men would have known we were here.
Company!
What's the matter, Captain?
I want you to stop here, Mr. Brown, for the night.
Why? We figured to camp at Silver Springs. It's just over the pass there, not more than 2 or 3 miles. We can make it easy before dark.
This'll make an all right camp. There's water and wood.
If there's trouble, Captain, I want to know.
It may be nothing, Mr. Brown, but I want to find out. You're to camp here and stay here till I give you the word to go on.
It's Indians, ain't it? There is trouble.
Maybe. Maybe not. But there's no use worrying all your folks. You'll be safe here. I'm leaving most of my men to guard you.
Well, why can't you escort us over the pass to Silver Springs?
Because if there were to be trouble, it would happen there in the pass, with the wagon trains all strung out and hard to defend.
All right, Captain. Whatever you say.
I'll come back or send word back to Lieutenant Seibert as soon as I know it's safe for you to cross.
Sergeant Gorse.
Yes, sir.
You and 2 men will accompany Mr. Granby and myself. Pick them and fall out. Mr. Brown, Lieutenant Seibert is in charge here till I get back.
I don't see a doggone thing, Captain.
Well, keep a sharp eye. Move the troopers further out the flank.
Yes, sir.
They're here somewhere. I can feel it.
Well, they must have seen the train, Will.
Yeah, they have, but they also saw the soldiers. They might be making tracks already. They disappear pretty fast.
I don't think they've had that much time. They'll probably stand for a fight.
And, Captain, what are you going to do?
Will, a few miles back, did you notice anything?
On the trail? Sure, a buffalo sign.
Right. It's the first I've seen this close to Laramie in a year.
Mm-hmm. Big herd, too. Across the trail going south.
It'd make a lot of Arapaho meat.
Yeah, it might work.
Worth a try.
Wait.
You see anything, Will?
Yeah, one of the scouts. Leave it to me.
Señor Nina. Nana Sina now. Anita Ina.
No one, Ina.
Yeah. All right. They'll take us in.
first Indian village I ever been in that wasn't full of barking dogs.
They had to eat them. You notice how it is, Captain?
Yeah, I see. I'd say they're not very happy to see us.
No.
I'm sorry, Will, to turn them against you.
Can't be helped. This is it.
Hi, Daddy, too. Why do you bring white soldiers to fight your people?
They don't come to fight, Gray Feather. This Captain Quince, he comes as a friend.
White soldier is not a friend of Arapaho. White soldiers break promise. They do not give meat.
I think I can get you meat, Gray Feather. I think I can take your hunters to Buffalo, a big herd.
You think? You do not know. Arapaho have ride from agency in north, hunt buffalo all through wide valley. No buffalo.
Gray Feather, on my way here from Fort Laramie, I saw much buffalo sign. You hunted only the north side of the river. You haven't been south of the Platte. I have. There are buffalo there.
So hunt take many days. Wagon train is here now.
If you attack that wagon train, it'll mean much fighting. Many dead among the Arapaho. Great mourning among the Arapaho.
There will be mourning for the white soldiers, too.
The army will keep on sending soldiers, rifles, until the Arapaho is no more. You know I speak the truth.
My people are hungry.
Then ride back towards the fort with me. I'll show you buffalo sign, then you can track from there.
Take many days.
It's the only way you can be sure to find buffalo and food.
If you find buffalo in 2 days, Gray Feather does not attack wagon train.
2 days isn't very long.
2 days.
If we do find buffalo, I want your promise to go peacefully back to the agency.
If you find.
All right, your hunters will come with me. But meantime, you must let the wagon train go through in peace.
This one, maybe not next one.
It is agreed, then, Gray Feather.
Aina.
Captain, 2 days ain't very long. We gotta be awful lucky.
We don't have much choice.
You know what'll happen if we don't find buffalo.
Yeah?
It'll be just the five of us out there with Gray Feather's hunters.
Like I say, we don't have much choice. We gotta guess where the buffalo will be. We don't have time to backtrack them. Sergeant Gorse.
Yes, sir.
I'm sending you back to the wagon train with a message for Mr. Seibert.
Private Jenkins' horse is fresher, Captain. I ain't been on no buffalo hunt in a long time.
All right, Sergeant. Jenkins! Jenkins, you'll go back to the wagon train. Tell Mr. Seibert to escort the train past Silver Springs, then return here in bivouac. If I should not return, he's to get clear if he can and report to the fort for reinforcements. Move out. Well, we got 48 hours, Will. Let's find those buffalo. Anything, Will?
Nothing, Captain. Not on that side.
Nothing this way either. You can see a long way.
I don't like the look of them back there. Gray Feather getting anxious.
I know. I just don't understand it, Will. There's not a sign.
I've been thinking, Captain, we're too far south.
The buffalo were headed south.
Maybe not as fast and as far as we thought.
Maybe they veered east.
No, I've been thinking it. It's been hot and dry for these last few days. No wind. Buffalo don't travel much in the heat. They just stand and graze and suffer with thirst.
But there's wind now.
Well, some from the southwest. But if there's up north of here, it's bringing the smell of water from the Laramie River.
Yeah, the river's still high.
Yeah, and they'd probably be craving for water about now, and they'd stick their noses into the wind and make a run for it, like they do.
You might be right, Will.
So if we cut back northeast to the Laramie, we'll find them.
They might be there. There's only one trouble.
What?
Look who's coming.
Uh-huh.
Captain, it is as Gray Feather spoke. You promised Buffalo 2 days. Now 2 days are gone. There is no Buffalo.
Your promise is like all promises of white soldier.
We've been looking a long time, Gray Feather, but now we know where the Buffalo are.
Captain, give much talk. We want Buffalo, not talk.
Gray Feather, my soldiers are at Silver Springs. If we do not return there, it will mean war for the Arapaho.
Maybe you return, but he not.
It is not yet evening of the second day.
There is little time.
Maybe, but enough. We're going to the waters of the Laramie and find your buffalo.
On this next rise, we ought to be able to see.
That's right, Will.
What if they ain't there, Captain?
If not, maybe we can get to the river, find some cover. So stay close. Watch for my signal.
Yes, sir.
You should have gone back to that wagon train, Sergeant.
I guess I ain't much of a garrison soldier.
All right, look sharp.
Wait, look there. Coming over the hills beyond, running for the river.
Look at them. Thousands of them, noses in the wind and running belly bent for breakfast.
There go your buffalo, Gray Feather, all you can eat. Well, go on, get them.
Eat your buffalo!
He sure was mighty hungry, Captain.
Yeah.
Well, I guess our luck held.
Yes, it did.
Well, let's ride on down to the river. I could do with a drink. Either side.
You took long enough.
The Oregon Trail's still open, Major. The Arapaho are back in the agency.
What took the time?
Why, we found some buffalo, stopped to hunt. The Indians took enough meat back to the agency to keep them quiet all summer.
I see. Well, that was fortunate.
It was, mostly Will Granby's doing. He found the buffalo.
Oh, well. Maybe I was wrong about him, Lee. Maybe he can be useful to us.
I think he can. I brought him back with us. His wife, too. You like to meet her?
An Arapaho?
She's sure not St. Louis.
Sure. All right, Captain. Granby?
Howdy, Major.
This is Will's wife, Major. Lark Woman.
How do you do?
Yeah, lawyer.
Mr. Granby.
Yes, sir?
If she's to stay around the post, she'll have to wear something more than that.
Huh? Oh, yeah. She's got a shirt somewhere in the baggage. See, Arapaho women aren't like Cheyenne or the Sioux or Crow. They don't wear much except when it's right cold.
There are a lot of men on the post, Will.
Huh? Oh, yes, sir, Captain. I'll see to it.
Oh, and Mr. Granby.
Yes, sir.
My compliments on your work with Captain Quince. As of now, you may consider yourself on the Army payroll as scout. It'll be in tomorrow's special order.
Yes, sir.
The quartermaster will house you.
Obliged, Major. Come on, child.
She's kind of pretty, isn't she, Lee?
Yeah. They make pretty good wives, too. Clean, quiet, hardworking. Nice people.
Now, you wouldn't be trying to soften me up, would you, Lee? Win me over to your way, I think.
I figure a man's got to make up his own mind about things, Major.
Captain Quince.
Yes, sir?
Don't get too smart. Just be thankful I don't ask how you happen to run into Buffalo and turn a serious police duty into a pleasure trip. Hunting.
My striker's cooking up some buffalo steaks, Major Daggett. You, like to come over to my quarters and try some?
Sure, let's go, Lee.
Produced and directed by Norma McDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by John Dunkel, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Jack Moyles, Ralph Moody, Edgar Barrier, Frank Cady, and Eleanor Tannen.
Company, attention! Dismiss!
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. Life would be simple indeed. We could enter them in books in nice, regular columns. One for credit, another for loss. And as long as we kept the credit column higher, the losses wouldn't matter. Money spent can be re-earned, but people are not money. Every individual is irreplaceable. The time to care about them is now, before another victim is hurt. Obviously, heart researchers may not find the cures and preventatives to all heart ailments the moment you contribute to the heart fund. But the sooner you do your part, the closer they'll come to answering the mysteries of the heart. Send your contribution to Heart, care of your local postmaster. That's Heart, H-E-A-R-T, Heart, care of your local postmaster.
Fort Laramie on Tune 2 Yesterday, a broadcast from February 5th, 1956 on CBS. It's an hour of Westerns on Tune 2 Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levenier. And now it's Have Gun Will Travel, with a broadcast first seen on TV on October 5th, 1957. It's the Herb Meadows story, Winchester Quarantine, adapted for radio on February 22nd, 1959. With John Daner as Paladin, Ben Wright, Larry Dobkin, Harry Bartell, and Lillian Bioff, we'll also hear Edgar Barrier, who was in Fort Laramie in a bit part, on CBS.
Want me to leave, you'll have to make me. Now, who's going to be the first to try? Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Hey, boy.
Oh, yes, sir, Mr. Paladin.
Help me with these bags, will you?
Oh, yes, Mr. Paladin. You go away again so soon?
It seems Mr. Edgar Potts in Tucson needs my services.
Oh, yes, sir.
I know Mr. Potts. He is not a good man. But he's a rich one.
Oh, you make lots of money, eh, Mr. Paladin?
Well, that's my plan. Look, hey, boy, this came up very suddenly. I've had to cancel my engagements for this week. Will you see that these notes are delivered?
Oh, yes, sir. Let me see. Missy Lily Clark, Kitty O'Connor, Adelaide Smith, Jesse Donahue, Francesca Valise, Mabel Hart, and Major John B. Culpepper.
Thursdays, I play chess. Glass of rye, bartender.
Yes, sir. There you are. Come in on the stage.
Yeah.
Figure to stay a while in Brotherton?
No, as soon as they get that axle fixed, I'm going on to Tucson.
Where are you from?
San Francisco.
Great little town, Frisco.
Yeah. Noisy in Brotherton. What's going on?
Well, now, wait till I get around there. We'll just go have a look-see.
Rewind, Indian. We told you it was going
to
happen.
Now, you listen to me. You get rid of every head of that disease stock on your place, Indian. Or we'll do more than keep you within your boundaries. We'll burn you out. How's hiding there?
I guess it ain't nothing. Might as well go back and finish your drink.
He shot that Indian's horse.
Now, you take that carcass away and burn it. Sickness enough without you savages bringing in more. Come on, Petey.
Who are those men?
The one on the big roan's McNally. The other's Peavy, his foreman.
And the Indian?
Joe Whitehorse. He's got a little ranch, borders on McNally's spread.
I see.
He's an educated Indian. They're the worst kind.
Yeah, I'm sure of it. Why did he kill his horse? Rough him up like that?
I don't know. It ain't my problem, mister.
Where's the livery stable?
North end of town.
White horse?
Yes?
My name is Paladin. This is my card.
Have Gun, Will Travel. I see. Thank you, Mr. Paladin.
Not interested?
If I had money to hire you, I wouldn't be hiking 20 miles carrying this saddle. I would have another horse.
I happen to be going your way. Why don't you put your saddle over this other horse of mine? No obligation.
It is right to tell you, even if I had money, I would not hire you. I don't hold with men who follow the gun.
I agree, Mr. Whitehorse. It's not a practical business, but 20 miles is a long walk.
And this is a heavy saddle. I accept your kind offer, Mr. Paladin. Now, 150 prime, healthy cows. Now 10 are dead. The rest ready to fall. They keep losing weight, dying.
Has a veterinary looked at them?
I can't get him to come out and look. I am a mission Indian, educated Indian. I have few friends among my own people and fewer among yours.
Yes, I saw an example of that back there in Brotherton.
They don't want me in that town. I can't trade in the stores. I buy supplies through the man who runs the pharmacy. The only one who will admit that we are human. Wait, rein up, Mr. Pelleton. There. There ahead. My land.
Looks like land a man would fight for.
I paid for that land. I'm willing to fight. I don't know how. My father wore feathers in his hair. He lived in a tipi. He was at war with the white men, fighting for his way of life. When he saw he could never win, it broke his spirit, but it made him wiser. He sent me to the mission school. Learned to live and think like a white man. He said that was the only way we could have a home in our land.
Three riders. You know who it is?
Wade. Phoebe and two of his hands. The one who killed my horse.
Yeah.
So you got yourself another horse.
The one you shot cost me $40. You have to pay me for that.
You. You friends with him or just passing through?
You ask that like a man hoping for the wrong answer.
You working for an Indian?
He hasn't hired me yet.
You're half a mile from his boundary line. You aim to keep going?
I thought I might.
It ain't that simple, mister. You can ride in on that horse, but you try to ride out and he'll go down with a slug in his head. No animal comes off in that ranch, yours or nobody's.
Mr. Paladin, he means what he says. You saw that in town. You're going to lose two good horses. I'll walk the rest of the way.
You'll ride. You've used my horse for 15 miles, and I expect the man who's done that to rub him down and ask me to sit at table.
You will be most welcome.
All right, then. Ride on in. But you'll be sorry.
More coffee?
Oh, yes. Please, Mrs. Whitehorse.
So, you are a gunfighter, Mr. Paladin.
Well, Mrs. Whitehorse, I have a certain talent with weapons. When people in trouble need such a talent, I hire it out to them.
I see. Is a gunfighter expensive, Mr. Paladin?
I have expensive tastes.
Joseph, I like my home. I want to stay here. I think all we need right now is time.
Every day more stock dying. Quarantine around me, that means I must sneak off my own land.
But
like
with
a
thief. Time, Joseph, we can find out what is sickening our cattle. We can build a healthy herd. Joseph, if Mr. Paladin can scare them into leaving us alone...
I will not have that kind of thing, Martha.
But we must do something. Mr. Paladin, we do not have any money to pay you. But this is rich land. We will give you a part of it. If you will fight for your part. And for ours.
I'll talk with these men. In the meantime, thanks for your hospitality.
It was our pleasure.
I'll walk out with you. Take care, Mr. Paladin. McNally is a violent man.
You told Peavy he'd have to pay you for that horse he shot. I don't mind taking over the debt. I'll trade you the horse you came home on.
Ah, that's a good horse. You cheat yourself.
Well, maybe I'll get Peavy to throw in something else of value.
Mr. Paladin. Perhaps you won't understand. Men differ.
What do you mean?
When I walk out of my house onto my own land, it gives me a good feeling. I love this place. It has given me pain, but There is something. This is mine. This handful of earth here. This is mine.
Certainly. It's just like a... Wait.
Hmm?
Your handful of earth there. Oh, yeah. Here. Put it in this handkerchief.
Here, in
the handkerchief.
Hmm.
Good.
I don't understand. Strange man, Mr. Paladin.
That's right, and I just had a strange notion. I'll see you again, Mr. Whitehorse. At the boundary of the White Horse Ranch, I dismounted to close the fence gate. The first rifle shot came high into my right. The second shot killed my horse. Both of them had come from somewhere in the brush behind me. I had an idea who had fired them, and I had a score to settle with them.
Sure looks like you're afoot, don't it?
You did that shooting?
This here's the Indian boundary.
That's a bad habit you have, Peavy, killing horses.
I warned you.
I remember. Now I'll use your horse to take me into town.
You lay a finger on that bridle, you Indian. Look!
You can tell McNally what happened. He'll find me in town. The only pharmacy in town?
Oh, yes. My name's Reinhardt. What can I do for you?
Do you know the White Horses?
Oh, you mean our thieving, scalping, overeducated local Indians. I do. Oh, and before you say your piece, let me inform you that this is the only store in town that'll do business with them. And proud to say it. Now, what's on your mind?
Are you set up to make a chemical analysis, Mr. Reinhardt?
Chemical analysis? Son, I've got the most complete laboratory south of San Francisco, back there just gathering dust. Where's there a place for science in a town where they bury a chicken head by the light of the moon to get rid of warts? Let me tell you something, mister. McNally, he tells the citizens how to think. And speaking of the devil...
McNally? He's probably looking for me.
Oh, what for?
Here, take this.
What in tarnation do you want me to do with a clod of dirt?
Now, we're only supposing, Mr. Reinhardt. Run a test on this, and I'll talk to you later.
Okay, but it don't make any sense.
Gentlemen.
You pistol-whipped my foreman, steal his horse?
I disciplined your foreman, Mr. McNally. As to the horse, Peavy owed Joe Whitehorse for the one he shot. I took over the debt and settled it.
You working for Whitehorse? What kind of men are we breeding that takes wages from an engine?
I couldn't get a dollar out of him. He doesn't have one, that's why I'm here.
If you're not with the engine, what's on your mind?
I want to be hired.
We're doing all right.
You're wasting your time trying to starve Whitehorse out.
You don't have to starve. I offered to buy his place.
At a profit?
I offered him $10,000.
Why are you so anxious to own his land?
His land's good, and there's water, and I don't aim to raise my children next to some savage. Besides, he's aiming to let that cattle sickness spread over the whole range, wipe us all out on account of he hates us so.
Perhaps I can persuade him to sell.
How?
His willingness will increase in ratio to the size of my fee. How willing do you want him to be?
All right, you're hired. Get on out to his place.
First, you go to the bank and draw some money. I think White Horse would want to be paid off in cash.
That's a lot to trust you with.
Well, then you carry it. And carry an additional $2,000, Mr. McNally. My fee.
$2,000? How much money you think I have?
How much do you hate Indians? I have some business in the pharmacy here. Then I'll see you at the White Horse Ranch. He's waiting outside there, Mr. Whitehorse. You've already overtaxed his patience.
You didn't understand me, Mr. Paladin. I won't sell.
You can do a lot with that cash.
I won't be pushed off my land. I stay here.
I told McNally you'd sell.
Then you'd tell him you were mistaken.
and lose my fee.
Why do you ask my husband to do this thing?
Because it's my considered opinion he should sell to McNally.
And if it is not my opinion, if I say I stand up to that gun of yours?
I think that would make everything very uncomfortable.
We ask only to live in peace, to have a home to build for ourselves and for those who come after, and you... You are no better than the others.
Marco should not have done that, no matter what. Forgive her, Mr. Paladin. Martha carries our first child. She is upset.
What kind of a world have we to offer our child? Sign it, Joseph. Sign the paper. Here is ink, a pen. Give them their bill of sale. We will find some place to live in peace.
You have earned your money.
I'll tell McNally he can come in and take possession.
Mr. Paladin, one day you will meet a gun faster than yours.
That's probably true, Mrs. Whitehorse. All right, McNally.
All set, huh?
All set.
Yeah, I got no respect for critters. Knows he ain't wanted, but hangs on anyway. In old days, he'd be long gone by now.
You've made your point, Mr. McNally.
Here is your bill of sale, McNally. It is your ranch now.
And you got the money? That does it.
Not quite. Let's not forget. $2,000.
Oh, sure. See me in town.
I see you now, McNally.
Oh. Oh, well. Here.
Thank you.
White Horse, learn something from this business. You Indians have reservations all over the country. That's where you belong.
Mr. McNally is a man of deep prejudices.
And not soft about him, neither.
Ooh, anything but soft. If it hadn't been for your sickly stock, he'd have found another reason to starve you out.
He did not starve us out. It was your gun that drove us off our land.
My gun did you a favor, Mrs. Whitehorse. This land is useless. It's poisoned. Don't try to pasture cows here, McNally. They'll die.
Oh, get rid of that disease. I'll burn everything down to the dirt.
But you can't burn the dirt, and that's where the poison is.
You're crazy.
I had the soil analyzed. It contains a certain element that affects all vegetation. It's called molybdenum, if you want to investigate it.
On my land?
McNally's land. I remember that I'd seen this cattle sickness once before down on the San Joaquin Range.
So you knew this?
Suspected it. Mr. Reinhardt verified it.
If this is true...
It's true.
But then I cannot keep this money.
Oh, yes, you can.
You dirty lying cheat.
Good day, Mr. McNally.
Indian lover.
Mr. Paladin.
I'm sorry I had to do it this way, but it's difficult to conspire with an honest man. Mrs. Whitehorse, I want to leave this fee for Mr. McNally as a gift for your child who is yet to be born.
That is a great deal of money, Mr. Paladin. I cannot take it.
Oh, please accept it. For your child, with my apologies for this imperfect world we have to offer him, and my hopes for a better one in his lifetime.
Thank you, Mr. Paladin.
Oh, Mr. Paladin, welcome.
Hello, hey boy.
Did you serve the most unworthy but very rich Mr. Potts?
No, I was delayed, and when I got to Tucson, Mr. Potts was dead. His wife shot him.
Oh, then you don't make lots of money. Your whole trip be wasted, eh? Too bad.
Not at all, hey boy. On the contrary, I found it quite rewarding.
Oh, you have someone wait for you upstairs in room.
Ooh, well now.
Yes, Major John B. Culpepper. It's Thursday. Le mama.
have gun, will travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars John Daner as Paladin with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Herb Meadow and adapted for radio by Ann Dowd. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Harry Bartell, Lillian Byam, Joseph Kearns, Edgar Barrier, and Barney Phillips. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.
Have Gun, Will Travel, on Tuned to Yesterday from February 22nd, 1959 on the Columbia Broadcasting System. And that brings this hour of Tuned to Yesterday to a close. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for listening.